So, Alex, the images for Pluto were incredible, but nobody has any idea what the images from this piece will look like, right? What does Ultima Thule look like?
What is this
mysterious object? So we're all very excited. The first little images came through today, the little oblong thing.
Yes.
Incredible. So, Alice, what does this mean to the human race?
It means new horizons to explore.
New horizons. No one's ever seen before.
Rock on, new horizons.
That was the voice of Brian May. You know Brian May, of course. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I am Andrew Rennie. Yes, we're looking at the New Horizons mission this evening, which last night passed the Kuiper Belt object called Ultima Thule. Now, we explain what a Kuiper Belt object is as we go through the show, and what the New Horizons mission is. But we've got here a discussion with Mark Buckley of the Johns Hopkins University, which they had in the period after the flyby, but before the signal was received from the New Horizons spacecraft.
In 2006, the New Horizons spacecraft sped from Earth toward the outer frontiers of the solar system. 13 years and 4 billion miles later, it has completed the first ever flyby of a small Kuiper Belt object. No other mission has explored a world so far away, or one that hadn't even been discovered when it was launched. Happy New Year. We're live from the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland, home of NASA's New Horizons mission. Now, the spacecraft was out of contact about 10 hours ago when it flew by Ultima Thule, and this morning, we await the call home to let us know that all is well. Now, last night was about celebration. Hundreds of mission team members, family and friends, marking a new year and the moment of close approach. The house was absolutely rocking with the debut of a special New Horizons song from Brian May, astrophysicist, New Horizons contributing scientist, and guitarist in the legendary group Queen. Now, this morning is about confirmation, because New Horizons is moving faster than 30,000 miles an hour. Even the smallest space debris could do serious damage. Now, did New Horizons survive its flight into the unknown? And is it ready to begin beaming back the data that will reveal Ultima as an entirely new world? Joining me is Mark Holdridge. He's the New Horizons Academy Mission Manager from Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab. Mark, it seems like we've been here before. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Seems like yesterday.
It seems we've been here before, 3 years and 3 billion miles ago, when New Horizons flew by Pluto.
That's right.
Your job, I mean, I guess the first thing, too, we casually call this the phone home moment, right? But tell us seriously, what are we waiting for? What are we watching for?
So the New Horizons spacecraft's taking a brief break from its departure, its outbound science gathering, to report in and basically give us some hint of its status in terms of how well it's doing and how well the flyby went.
Okay, we talk about the you're going to hear some terms and hear some things happening as we go into mission operations. Tell us what we're listening for. What are some of the things we're going to hear from Mission Operations Manager Alice Bowman and what they mean?
So the signal, after it hits the Earth, it's going to be coming complements of the tracking station in Madrid, Spain. And they have receivers there at the station that will be looking for the signal, trying to pull it out. And initially, they'll be looking for carrier and try to lock on the carrier from the spacecraft. That's the signal coming down. And eventually lock on to the data stream, which will then be translated into the data that the subsystem engineers will be looking at in the mock.
Okay, so when we hear certain things like carrier or lock, we should be listening for that's, I guess, the different steps of, I guess, the ground contacting and hooking up with the spacecraft.
Yeah, there's a handshaking that takes place, so to speak, between the spacecraft and the ground system.
And we'll be watching this for, we think, about 10:29, 10:30 is when the earliest that can happen.
Yes, around 10:30, I think, is when we should see the acquisition of signal.
Okay, we talk about that signal. We've been saying throughout the week, as we've talked about the farthest exploration ever, 4.1 billion miles away, how long does it take that signal from that distance to reach Earth from the spacecraft?
Right. Presently, it's a little over 6 hours one way to get the signal. So everything that we're seeing at this moment actually happened about 6 hours ago.
So, I mean, if we had to track that signal, I mean, that's long gone. It's right about. I mean, we're getting close to having that here.
Yep.
You're responsible. You led the team as mission manager to make sure that New Horizons got where it needed to be, where it needed to mm-hmm. be at the time it needed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show an image that we put out yesterday. This was one mm-hmm. of the last images that came from New Horizons before the flyby. It basically shows a couple of pixels. I think probably one of the bigger looks that we had of Ultima leading into the flyby. The scientists will look at these and they'll get information about the object itself, but your team had been using images like this, in fact, mm-hmm. with less information to yes. do your job. Explain how you guys did
yes.
that.
Now, about 100 days ago, we were able to start detecting the signal, start picking up Ultima Thule out of the star background using images similar to this. However, it was really one pixel, and that was hard pixel to get, actually. We had to take a number of images and co-add them and to really pull it out of the background.
Right.
And then we've been tracking its motion relative to the stars using the onboard camera on New Horizons to refine our estimate of the relative trajectories of the spacecraft and Ultima Thule.
So, I mean, you mentioned pull the background. I mean, even finding Ultima was a challenge.
Yes.
I mean, knowing to get that target beyond Pluto,
right.
because it's just one of the busiest, the most crowded star fields
yes.
in the sky to pull that out. And
yes.
you had that challenge in trying to find Ultima in those first images.
Yes. I mean, Pluto, of course, we were able to see almost a year in advance with the same camera. But with Ultima Thule, we had to wait until the final 100 days or so before it was bright enough for us to be able to pick it up.
And we're looking at, when we see the image, that there's processing that has to happen here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at, like, the raw image on the one side,
yes.
and then you see the process to get something out of it.
Right.
It seems like all the teams had to do
yeah.
something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, the navigation team has folks that are specialized in processing these optical navigation images and then refining the orbit estimates. And so we have a very collaborative environment with two navigation teams and also members of the science team that supported the effort.
Okay, you were a mission operations manager.
Mm-hmm.
Led
mm-hmm.
several other APL missions
yes.
To go to various places across the solar system. Who's in the mission operations center? We go back and show
yeah.
mission operations. Who's in there?
Yeah.
Who should be watching?
So you'll see Alice. She's the mission operations manager in the mission operations center, as well as her team, which are subsystem experts, as well as flight controllers that are responsible for sending the commands to the spacecraft, as well as looking at data coming from the spacecraft and the ground system, and, of course, working any kinds of anomalies or contingency situations.
So the plan's in place. You guys made your decision. Tell me a little bit what's going on in that room right now.
I think there's a lot of anxious people staring at a screen.
Yeah.
The numbers aren't moving yet, but at some point they're going to start getting some information from the Madrid tracking station, and they're just going to be very anxiously watching that screen to look for the signal to lock up and let us know that New Horizons survived the flyby.
All right, well, instead of us talking, why don't we just go to Mission Operations now and listen in, and let's just watch and see what happens.
Sounds good.
That was Mark Holdridge, the mission manager from New Horizons at the Applied Physics Laboratory at Johns Hopkins University in Laurel, Maryland, in discussion with Mark Buckley of the Johns Hopkins University's Public Affairs Department. So in the next section, we are right in Mission Control. I have time compressed in this edit of what happened in Mission Control as the New Horizons phoned home after passing Ultima Thule. This happened in the wee hours, around about 2:30 this morning. So time edited down, but you're hearing everything that was said in Mission Control during that. Has New Horizons made it past?
So the worry, and you had mentioned earlier that the... You had mentioned, too, that the signals are coming back from the spacecraft through NASA's Deep Space Network Station in Madrid.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
When they go through the checklist for these things and to figure out what's going to happen next? They're going to establish these signals, and then what is Alice going to do?
So once they get a solid lock on the data, then those screens will start lighting up with information, and those team members will look at their areas of expertise. It might be guidance and control or... communications, and they'll look at those and try to get, surmise what the status of each of those subsystems is in real time, and eventually they'll be polled and report that status to the operations manager, And then she'll report that status to the PI, Alan.
Okay, so let's go back to watch.
In lock with carrier. Signal strength looks good. Standing by for symbols and, telemetry. Symbols lock. In lock with telemetry.
And Pluto's.
They're very relaxed.
Yeah. I was going to say that look.
Thank you very much.
Copy it.
Subsystems, MOM on Pluto 1, please report status as you get it.
Reporting in right
now. Go ahead, RF.
Well, the green screens will tell you, and RF is in fantastic shape.
Copy that. RF is green.
All right. Oh, we are hearing it. That's good.
Copy, thermal is reporting green status.
All right. Thermal.
So communications and thermal so far.
Right.
MOM, planning.
Go ahead, planning.
Planning is good.
Copy, planning is nominal.
MOM, FC on Pluto 1.
Go ahead, FC.
FC is green, and DSN has provided fantastic support as always.
Copy.
All right. MOM, GNC.
Go ahead, GNC.
GNC looks good.
Copy. GNC is good.
All right. So that's guidance and control.
Yep.
MOM propulsion.
Go ahead, prop.
Propulsion is green.
Copy. Prop is green.
Prop is green.
MOM power.
Go ahead, power.
Power is green.
Copy. Right, power green.
MOM, this is CNDH on Pluto 1.
Go ahead, CNDH.
CNDH is nominal. Our SSR pointers are right where we predicted, so it's just...
Copy that. CNDH is green, and we have a good data record of Ultima Thule science.
MOM, this is autonomy.
Go ahead, autonomy.
Autonomy is nominal.
Copy. Yep, autonomy is nominal.
Good.
Nav, MOM on Pluto 1, do you have status yet?
New Horizons, MOM, this is Nav. No status yet. We expect that probably in the next 30 minutes or so.
30 minutes? Is that what you said?
That's an estimate, yes, 30 minutes for Nav.
Copy that.
But that's about normal, right, for navigation to take
yes.
time to make sure
MSC, SSE, do you have status?
System engineer to MOM, status is green.
Copy that, green.
And that's overall spacecraft.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the SSR status is really important. That's a solid state recorder, and that tells us that we have data
navigation,
on the spacecraft.
Navigation, MOM, on Pluto 1, we are... Our track is only, we only have about 10 minutes more in track, so we will get your status offline. Do you copy?
New Horizons, Nav. Yeah, we copy that. Thank you.
Copy that. Any more status to report? We have a healthy spacecraft. We've just accomplished the most distant flyby. We are ready for Ultima Thule science transmission at 200 UTC today. Science to help us understand the origins of our solar system.
That's it.
As we heard it live from the Mission Control Center in Laurel, Maryland, the acquisition of signal telling us that New Horizons had... survived its passage past the object Ultima Thule, had turned shortly to, or briefly, to point at the Earth and say, yep, I'm fine, and then it turned back towards the target and continued taking science data. It can't do both at once. It can't communicate with the Earth and do data at once. Well, Mark Holdridge had these comments afterwards.
What happens next now? So we have confirmation the spacecraft is in great shape. It has all of its data. What's going to happen next?
The spacecraft's going to go back to doing what it was doing. It's going to continue gathering outbound science and focus on that for the time being. And then it is going to pass behind the sun in conjunction for a period of a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have to pause some communications and playback. But over the course of the year, the science data will continue to stream in, and we'll keep getting better and better information on this really awesome object. You know, so far we've only seen 3 pixels of.
Right, yeah. And like I said, we'll see more as we go, and then you know, we'll be getting pictures and other data over the next couple of days. Yeah. The conjunction you're mentioning when New Horizons flies behind the sun happens, you know, about this weekend for a few days, and then the data starts coming back down, and over 20 months, the entire package from Ultima Thule and goes from being revealed from this small dot into a real world, the likes of which we've never seen before.
Right.
Wow, amazing thing. Congratulations to the New Horizons team, too. All right, so back on the desk, we're joined by John Spencer. He's the New Horizons Deputy Project Scientist from the Southwest Research Institute. And John, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Mike.
Now, you led the planning for this encounter, and you know all the moves that New Horizons is making to reveal Ultima's secrets. Tell us what the spacecraft is doing right now.
Well, right now, we're making our highest resolution observations of Ultima that we're going to make in the entire flyby, because we're just before closest approach. The lighting is perfect to get those really detailed images that are going to show us all the topography and all the details of the surface. We're doing two things simultaneously. We're doing a wide-angle scan with our wide-angle camera that is going to be covering a large swath of space around Ultima. Most of that scan is going to have nothing in it because we're not sure exactly where Ultima is. So it might be over here, it might be over here. And so we're going to just sweep our camera across that whole distance so we'll catch it wherever it is. At the same time, we're using our telephoto camera to take just bang, 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 900 images in a row along the middle of that strip that will be hopefully centered on Ultima. We're really hoping that we're going to get the pointing right on those, but we're not quite sure if it will work or not. So that's our added bonus if we get those highest resolution images. And I mean, so hopefully they're happening right now.
I mean, I think that shows the confidence, one, the idea that you really just don't know completely yet, you know, where this is. It's a much smaller object we had to explore before, but the plan, you seem pretty confident, though, that you guys put a good plan together, and now you're just watching it ride through.
Yes, we're optimistic now about how well this is going to go, and now it's just a matter of time to see the data coming down and see what we got. But right now we're taking those most beautiful images that we're going to get, and so it's just going to be amazing waiting to see those.
About how close is it going to come to Ultima Thule?
Closest approach just about now is about 2,000 miles, 3,500 kilometers, much closer than we came to Pluto. Because this is a small world, we want to get as close as we could to it to get the best possible pictures.
Right, and if I look at the countdown clock now, I mean, we're about 3 minutes away, and I'm looking at the distance, and I'm seeing about 2,700 miles. I don't think New Horizons has been closer to anything since launch.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. It's like half an hour after we left Earth orbit was the last time we were this close to anything.
At this point.
And so this is really, it's very hard to believe, actually, that this is really happening right now out there 4 billion miles away.
That it's that close. You know, we ask almost everything about this, too, but what do you think? What are you most excited to see?
I think I'm most excited to see the pictures that are being taken right now, because they're going to be the sharpest, show the most detail, have the best lighting to really show us what the Ultima is like, and we're really excited to see those pictures.
That conversation there with John Spencer was recorded before the actual flyby. Alan Stern is the project scientist for the New Horizons mission, and he conducted the countdown to the flyby. Of course, there was nothing to actually being received on Earth because of that 6-hour light travel time, but this is what we heard late yesterday as the flyby was happening. Alan Stern gave us the countdown.
Hey everybody, we have an American spacecraft 4 billion miles from home approaching Ultima Thule. The spacecraft is currently 2 minutes from its closest approach. It's moving at 9 miles per second. Think about that. In the next 2 minutes, it's going to travel the distance of the entire East Coast from Miami to Maine. If you were on board New Horizons right now, Ultima Thule would be about as big in the sky as a full moon over the Earth. Wow. But only dimly lit because it's so far from the sun that the spacecraft is bathed in a light that's only the equivalent of a dusky twilight, about the equivalent of 100 full moons. At this very moment, while we're speaking and celebrating this event, New Horizons is taking its riskiest observation. It's trying to get the very highest resolution images as it's zipping by at 32,000 miles per hour. Okay, we're under a minute now, so we're going to start the countdown. 50 seconds to fly by. You guys ready? Are you psyched? Are you jazzed? 45 seconds to fly by. 40 seconds. Join me. 35 seconds. 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds. 25. Shh. 20. We're almost there. 15. 14. 13. 12. 11. 10. 9. 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go New Horizons! Go New Horizons! Woo-hoo! 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 New Horizons is on departure. Go USA! Go NASA! Go New Horizons!
Those events were occurring in the yesterday for our time, but in America it was just a few minutes after midnight on New Year's Day that flyby happened. Well, about a minute or two later, we had this conversation.
We are a minute past Ultima Thule. This is space history. No object has been explored up close this far from Earth. I mean, wasn't it enough to think that over 3 years away from Pluto, I mean, it took 9 years after launch to get to Pluto and 3 billion miles. Now another 3 years, billion miles beyond that, we're now past Ultima Thule, outbound from the farthest object yet to be explored. What happens next is the data will start to come back. We'll see tomorrow, 20 months for data from Ultima to ultimately reach Earth and for the entire package for the science team to begin looking over just this treasure trove of information, of data, in what is literally an archaeological dig in the beginnings of the solar system. These are objects that have been literally untouched, believed to be unaffected since they were formed in this outside region of the solar system. What we're looking to do is go back to Mission Central, the Countdown Central, the excitement there. Joanna Wendell, I believe, is with Principal Investigator Alan Stern. So let's go back out to the floor.
Let's see where... Hey, Alan, so how are you feeling at this second right now?
I'm feeling so proud of our team and so happy for science and for NASA and what we could accomplish.
And what does this mean for space exploration?
Well, we set a record. Never before has a spacecraft explored anything so far away. I mean, think of it. We're a billion miles further than Pluto. And now we're going to keep going into the Kuiper Belt. And hopefully we'll have another flyby someday.
How excited are you for the data that's going to be coming down in the next weeks and months?
I can't wait. And this team is raring to go because for us, this really just starts with the downlink and transmissions that begin tomorrow and will last for a year and a half.
When Craig Worth wanted to capture the excitement and inspiration of New Horizons in music, he knew exactly where to look for performers. The New Horizons team itself. And he captured it for all of us to enjoy. Please welcome Craig Worth.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's exciting for me and odd that a New Hampshire singer-songwriter is working on this mission, but I'm part of the team. And I wrote a song for Pluto that Alan took a shine to. Then he said, what about a song for Ultima Thule? And I said, yes. And I told him it's a sing-along that I came up with. It's about amazement, and not just the amazement around the magnificent science and technical achievement of the mission, but especially amazement around the passion and the dedication and the commitment and the team effort, the community effort in achieving this that moved me so. So I composed this song, told him it's a sing-along. He said, well, why don't you come down to the team meeting and we'll invite people to sing on it. And I thought maybe five or six would show up out of pity for the New Hampshire songwriter. And dozens showed up, and they sang their hearts out. And this is a sing-along even tonight, so please sing along with us so that you too can say that you opened for Brian May. Join us if you will. Thank you. Thank you.
Isn't it amazing how we learn to leave the ground? Isn't it amazing? The firing up, the counting down. Isn't it amazing how we passionately turn to all we know and hope to learn? It is amazing. I am amazed. It is amazing. I am amazed. It is amazing. I am amazed. Isn't it amazing? All the ones who came before. Isn't it amazing how they opened up the doors? Isn't it amazing? Every woman, every man, on whose dreams and work we stand. It is amazing, I am amazed. It is amazing, I am amazed. It is amazing, I am amazed. Isn't it amazing? All the science and the art. Isn't it amazing to catch the view of Pluto's heart? Isn't it amazing? This wing our spirit flies on toward all these new horizons. It is amazing. I am amazed. It is amazing. I am amazed. It is amazing. I am amazed. Isn't it amazing? The wonder that we share. Isn't it amazing? How it reaches way out there. Isn't it amazing? When we engage community and reach ultimately, it is amazing. I am amazed. It is amazing. I am amazed. It is amazing. I am
FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
This is the Space Show, and tonight we are looking at the New Horizons mission to the Kuiper Belt object Ultima Thule.
Hello, Chris Pratt here. As you may know, I'm no stranger to guarding the galaxy. In fact, in my new film, The Lego Movie 2, the second part, you'll see my character Emmett take on aliens of all shapes and sizes. So you know I'm telling the truth when I say I've been to the extremes of outer space. And on New Year's 2019, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft is headed there too, 1 billion miles beyond Pluto, conducting the furthest flyby in history with a flight past the Kuiper Belt object named Ultima Thule. And small worlds like Ultima are the building blocks of the planets, and New Horizons is going to explore one of these icy time capsules for the very first time. How cool is that?
NASA's New Horizons spacecraft is just hours away from conducting a flight past the Kuiper Belt object known as Ultima Thule, 1 billion miles beyond Pluto, the farthest planetary flyby in history. This evening, we'll hear from members and friends of the New Horizons mission team who will take you inside this history-making exploration of worlds at the farthest reaches of our solar system.
We are live at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland, counting down to a new year by following NASA's New Horizons spacecraft 4 billion miles from home, just minutes away from flying by the Kuiper Belt object nicknamed Ultima Thule, the farthest planetary flyby in history. Now, Ultima might be the space rock of the hour, but we've got a rock star much closer to home, Brian May, astrophysicist, New Horizons contributing scientist, and lead guitarist for the rock group Queen. Tonight, we'll debut a song inspired by New Horizons for this audience and an audience all around the world. Brian, like, New Year's is exciting enough. We get to celebrate it witnessing space history.
This is a night to remember. I'm so privileged to be here and be a part of this. Fantastic. We will never forget this moment.
You know, everybody always asks for the new year. What are you going to do in the year ahead? But we don't have to wait that long. There's some cool stuff happening in the next couple of days.
I can't believe what we're going to see. The thing is, we have no idea what we are going to see, which is what makes it so great, isn't it? So this is completely unknown territory, which is what makes us all so excited at this moment.
Now, countdown to the next one. Brian, let's just get to what you've worked on, what inspired by New Horizons.
This is something that I worked on, having been privileged to be a part of this operation for the past few years. This is a song, this is my way of dedicating my respect to this team, which has put together this most incredible journey of all time. This is the farthest, the most distant rendezvous which has ever happened in history. So it's my privilege and my pleasure to introduce to you right now the global, the world premiere of this new theme for New Horizons. Thank you.
T-minus 15 seconds.
Ready? Roger.
15 seconds.
11. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. We have lift off of NASA's New Horizons spacecraft.
Better how our solar system was formed. New Horizons.
it's a worthy tribute.
What an amazing way to start the new year. It was incredible. Fantastic.
I'm very happy. Well, thank you for that response. Thank you for that. Thank you for dancing, you know.
I was hoping nobody would see that.
It was you.
And right here on the Space Show, we claim that that is an Australian first. First ever broadcast of the song New Horizons by Brian May. And we recorded that at the world premiere performance just a few hours ago. Now, Brian May, an astrophysicist and participating scientist in New Horizons, explained why the song was written.
Now, I mean, just a few minutes ago, I mean, this building was rocking. And the man who led the New Year's countdown and debuted a song dedicated to New Horizons is here with us right now. Brian May, guitarist from Queen, astrophysicist, and New Horizons participating scientist. Brian, this mission has inspired so many people, right? Maybe tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write New Horizons.
It totally inspired me, and when getting to know the people who work in all the different departments of this thing, I've been absolutely enchanted by the whole thing. And once I was kind of, I wasn't exactly commissioned to write the song, but Alan and I talked, and he said it would be great if you could do some music for it. And I started to think this mission to me represents more than the mission itself. It actually represents to me the spirit of adventure and discovery and inquiry, which is inherent in the human spirit. So that's kind of what I was trying to build into the song, and I hope it comes across. But it is a tribute to this particular mission and all the people who made it work. It's something incredible, and this is a night none of us are going to forget.
No, and I think the reaction to the song out in the audience indicated, I think, what other people thought of it, too. That
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I was nervous, you know, because this is the moment where you present and you think, is this good enough or whatever? But I'm hoping that it will be a kind of catalyst to get the mission out to the public a bit more than it would have done, you know, even. So,
now, you're a participating scientist on the New Horizons mission. And in fact, one of the things I know that you're interested in doing is the stereo imaging. And we've put some of your stereo images already on the project website.
Which makes me very proud. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yes, I mean, tell us how you put those together. And I mean, we're going to see more.
Yeah, this is what I put together for the Pluto mission. And I was just very lucky to be there at the right time. These two images look the same, but of course, they're slightly different because they're from different angles. And with a stereoscope, you're I happen to put them on my mobile phone, but this little stereoscope, my OWL stereoscope, turns a mobile phone into a stereoscope, and this is what you see. And you see the thing in relief, you see it in 3D, and it leaps out. And
I mean, that's amazing.
You.
And I know you put that in books as well. I mean, and the stuff is available online for people to see this in an entirely new way.
Yeah, to me, it's a big thrill, and I'm hoping against hope that we can get these images in the same way for Ultima. You know, how great to see Ultima in one of these things and to experience it close up, because it's like you could touch it in 3D.
Right, and I could say that, I mean, even just the one you did of the dot that was Ultima, that's going to clear anyway. I mean, that's available on pluto.jhuapl.edu. You can find that on there.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, we got two eyes for a reason, really. Evolutionary speaking, we have two eyes because it gives us so much more information on the universe around us. So this is me.
Brian, thank you for joining us this evening and for here on this program. And I can just say, just have fun with your colleagues this week when the data on Ultima starts coming in.
Can't wait. It's been such an honor to be with you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Mark Holden, and you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
From its origins as an ambitious concept to its historic exploration of Pluto in the Kuiper Belt, the New Horizons mission has been a team effort, pulling expertise from institutions from around the nation. To recognize the members of this team are Principal Investigator Dr. Alan Stern from the Southwest Research Institute and Helene Winters, New Horizons Project Manager from the Applied Physics Laboratory.
I'm Helene Winters, Project Manager for New Horizons.
And I'm Alan Stern, the Mission PI. If you don't know what that stands for, it's an official NASA acronym. It stands for the Principal Instigator. As I said earlier this evening, spaceflight is a team sport, and the New Horizons team is something that we want to tell you about tonight. When we built New Horizons way back in the 2000s, it was a really big team. In fact, we once estimated that with all the contractors, not just the APL and Southwest team and the science team, but with all the contractors that built the launch vehicle and our nuclear power supply and all of the subsystems for the spacecraft and the scientific instruments, that there were 2,500 men and women working on New Horizons at one point or another. But since we've launched the spacecraft, we shrunk that down to just a very small flight crew of about 50 people who operate the entire mission during most of the years, and then it bulks up around the flybys. Right now, we're about 150 here for the Ultima Thule flyby. And so what we want to do is tell you about this is really a team of teams, and we want to tell you about some of the sub-teams that are involved and what they do and who their leadership is. And Helene's going to kick that off.
Oh, sure. This team is among the sharpest, most dedicated collegial groups of professionals. So we did want to give a shout out to some of the sub teams. And certainly we'll recognize a small fraction of the folks who've contributed to this. But the first team we wanted to give a shout out to was Mission Operations. They're led by Alice Bowman. She's the Mission Operations Manager, also known as the MOM. It's a simplistic explanation here, but they compose the command sequences that are sent to the spacecraft that tell the instruments and the subsystems what to do, and they get the telemetry back down, and they're our first line of defense on the ground if anything goes wrong. So if Alice calls me in the wee hours of the morning, my heart beats a little faster, but they're a wonderful team, and they keep everything running.
Yeah. I want to tell you about a second team. It's our engineering team run by Chris Hersman here at APL. The engineering team consists of subsystem leads for each of the systems on board New Horizons. So the thermal system, the power system, for computing, for guidance, and on down the line. And they're also leads for each of the seven scientific instruments aboard. Helene?
Yes. The next team we wanted to give a shout out to is the science team. They are led by Alan Stern, our principal investigator. We have some science theme teams within there, but our science team sets forth the goals that we want to achieve, our objectives for the mission. And with the concurrence and guidance from NASA, we execute those goals in the mission, and then we get the telemetry down, and the science team analyzes the telemetry and publishes the results.
The next team that I want to tell you about is our public-facing side, which consists of our public affairs officer, Mike Buckley, and our engagement and communications officer, Carrie Beiser. And they're the ones that make all of this that you see and you read and you learn about, from our website to all of the media activities that we take place, to the social media, to all of the education and school engagement, all of that possible.
And we have Mark Holdridge was our encounter mission manager, so he coordinated all this for the encounter, planned the timeline, and executed the testing and so forth. We have several other people who helped us get to where we need to be. We have the mission design team led by Yanping Guo. They set out the trajectory for us. And we have the navigators. The navigation team for our PrimeMed navigation team is led by Fred Pelletier of Kinetics. And we have an independent nav team who acts as our checks and balances in there, and that's led by Dylan Boone of JPL. And last but not least, we have Gabe Rogers, who leads our guidance and control team, who keeps us pointing in the right direction.
Well, a little while earlier, you heard about our mission operations control team that sits in that cool mission control center here across campus and drives the spacecraft, more or less. But we also have a science operations team back in Boulder that's responsible for what we call the SOC, or the Science Operations Center, which really has two functions. We call it an uplink side, which consists of creating all of the command load portions to operate the seven scientific instruments, and that's run by Debbie Rose. In Boulder at the Southwest Research Institute. And then we have a downlink side that's responsible for receiving and decoding all the data, running all the data reduction pipelines, and ultimately archiving the data in the planetary data system. And that's run by Jillian Redfern, also at the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder.
Okay. We also wanted to give a shout out to the folks at the Deep Space Network. Kathleen Harmon there is our mission interface manager. They're responsible for running the satellite dishes and helping us communicate with the spacecraft, both to send commands and get telemetry back down. And we work with folks from the complexes at Canberra, Australia, outside Madrid, Spain, and Goldstone, California. We also wanted to give a shout out to the folks at Hubble Space Telescope. Hubble gave us the time to make the observations that Mark Bowie used to discover Ultima Thule, and to take other images of it as we approached Ultima Thule. And also the folks at ESA, European Space Agency, who brought to us the Gaia Star Catalog that allowed us to navigate to Ultima Thule.
And finally, last but not least, of course, we want to talk about the behind-the-scenes people that do our business operations, that take care of our scheduling, that take care of our purchasing, that take care of our budget interface with NASA, and of course, all of our admin assistants that really make sure that New Horizons runs well. So these are the individual components of our teams.
Hello, APL. I'm Walter Alvarez at the University of California, Berkeley. As a geologist who studies extraterrestrial impacts on our home planet, I'm just in awe of what you have done with New Horizons, actually going to the most distant planet and now even beyond. With my best wishes for a perfect flyby of 2014 MU-69.
David Brenn here, science fiction author, congratulating the New Horizons team on approaching Ultima Thule and the well-timed New Year's Day encounter, and adding that this kind of competence that we've seen a dozen times in just 2018 just isn't what we think of ourselves in this time of gloom. It's theologically significant that we're so good at this, at reaching out into the cosmos. And it is important that you other generations overcome the baby boomer anthem of I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Be proud as heck that you're a member of a species and a civilization, and yet, yes, nations that are doing this kind of stuff. Be proud. Be assertively proud. Grab your neighbors by the collar and say, look what we are doing.
Hello, New Horizons. I want to wish you the best of luck in your encounter with Ultima Thule, the farthest world that humans have ever explored. I can't wait to see what you find.
New Horizons. Hi, Commander Chris Hadfield here. You are the steely-eyed, high-speed, fleet-footed messenger way out beyond the edge of what we barely understand. Safe travels and happy prospecting as you look at Ultima Thule on the way by. And Happy New Year.
Hi, New Horizons. I just want to wish you a happy, happy flyby of Ultima Thule on this coming new year. We are so excited for your new adventure and cannot wait to see what you're going to bring back for us. Happy 2019.
Greetings, everyone, from the Space Show. Alan, to you and your entire New Horizons team, congratulations for an incredible job, a job very well done, with the New Horizons mission. All of you and the spacecraft will enjoy a permanent place in space and human history for what you have accomplished. Way to go. And a very happy new year from all of us here at the Space Show to all of you.
Happy New Year, New Horizons spacecraft. You are about to fly by Ultima Thule, what we used to call 2014 MU-69. It's an object way, way out in the solar system in the Kuiper Belt. We're going to learn more about those objects and about the origin of the solar system and where you and I came from. What a way to start the new year! Way to go, New Horizons! Snap those photos! Woo!
Hey, you guys, at the New Horizons mission, I'm Scott Stantis, creator of the comic strip Prickly City and the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Congratulations and good luck on your flyby of Ultima Thule, or, as us old people still like to call it, MU-69. Good luck, you guys.
Say, gang, where's that New Horizons spacecraft passing on January 1st?
2014 MU-69, Ultima Thule.
Planetary Society can't wait to see those pictures.
Good luck, New Horizons.
Well, in the gap between the flyby and getting the pictures back, there's quite a long time. And Alan Stern gave a quick look at a few of the pictures that came back before the flyby. Here's what he had to say about them.
We're here to tell you that last night, overnight, the United States spacecraft New Horizons conducted the farthest exploration in the history of humankind, and did so spectacularly. Thousands of operations on board the spacecraft had to work correctly in order for us to be able to tell you this, and now we know that it all did. Yeah, well, what I want to do next is tell you a little bit about the science, and then Hal Weaver, our project scientist, is going to tell you even more. Yesterday, we started to get some pre-arrival data taken from about 500,000 miles out. So these are still very low-resolution images. But as we speak, right now, signals from the spacecraft are coming back across the solar system at the speed of light. They're currently about halfway back to Earth. And overnight tonight, the science team will be analyzing the first high-resolution images, which we'll be able to show you tomorrow. Now, the image that I'm about to show you is the best image of Ultima that we got pre-flyby, and it's okay to laugh, but it's better than the one we had yesterday. There it is. Meet Ultima. So, in my line of work, we like to interpret even images like this. And so what can we tell you from this image? Well, first, we have a better handle on the size of Ultima. It's about 35 by 15 kilometers, and you can see a scale bar in miles there. Secondly, you see its irregular shape, and there are two possibilities here. One possibility is that it's bilobate, with the upper lobe being smaller than the lower lobe, so they would be asymmetric. Or it may be that these are two things that are actually in orbit around each other and just blurred together because of their proximity. Tomorrow we will know which of those is the case.
And that was Alan Stern. And it looks like a peanut shell. If you imagine what a peanut shell's like, little confined at the waist. Now, the preliminary results are going to be announced tomorrow at 6 a.m., with more to follow on Friday morning at 6. But it's pretty much going up to 8 o'clock now. And Nick Black, this has been The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. And we'll have more about the New Horizons mission to Ultima Thule on next week's The Space Show.